Well, with all that rain, it kind of feels like the ocean has rolled right over us. Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And looking out the studio window, it looks a little foggy. Tony, you'd have to say, being in the airline industry years ago, you were bringing it in on the instruments.
Absolutely. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What would you think about that if you were able to do that?
It would be fantastic.
Sit right up there in the front, you can't see anything, and all of a sudden you get down below the cloud layer, and there's the runway.
Awesome. Well, we're on the runway now, taxiing into another great In and Around the House, and we've got some special guests coming in this morning.
We do. Our good friends from Bluegrass Meats.
Yum.
What do you think about that?
Food. Oh, wonderful. Food. Hey, you know what? This is a perfect opportunity, too, to break the news to you that I did a little grilling last week.
Again?
Again.
And what's
it wasn't bad. Well, yeah. I think I've discovered why I don't grill, and it probably has a lot to do with my ADHD, GH, whatever letter is supposed to go in there, where I get distracted really early. So what happens is, I put them on the grill, and I noticed a project that I wanted to get some progress done on, get a few things done. And so I thought, okay, I'll throw these on here, and this will just take just a minute. I need to get this wheel frame off of this old wheelbarrow. I need another wrench. I need another screwdriver. And 10 minutes later, come back, and charcoal is where I had left the burgers.
Mm.
So that, I think I've discovered why I don't grill, because I don't have that attention span. And we did something else for dinner. We have our friends from Bluegrass who are going to be coming in, and they have some great tips on grilling, so I'll be sure to pass those along to my wife, and some awesome product to put on the grill.
All good stuff. I love the summer. We grill out often, so I'm upset that you suffer from an adult, what is it?
I don't know. I can never keep those letters.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's bad. I'm like you. I can't keep up with it.
Yeah. Whichever one of those things that they've identified where I can't stay focused for more than just a couple of moments.
That is bad when you can't do that and you're on the grill.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't take long to burn something. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that's what you did. Anyway, you know what? Speaking of grilling, I'm going to post that photo of what I did on a grill a couple weeks ago. I'll tease you with that one a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
A big day ahead of us. A lot of stuff going on. And actually, we got some rain, too. Not a bad system that swept through here. I know some people probably are saying, what?
Yeah.
But, we did get a little bit an abundance of rain, but it was getting dry. This might be a good pick-me-up. Mm-hmm. You know how summer's become around here.
Yes.
So a little tropical storm, Cindy, has definitely left her mark all throughout the whole Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say? Ohio, Mississippi Valley?
Yeah.
But we'll take it. I'll take the moisture.
It has moved out of our area and taken the humidity with us. It is going to be gorgeous.
I know it is.
For the next several days.
70s.
Check this out. Temperatures are right around 78, 79 for today with partly sunny skies. Tomorrow, 76. 75 on Monday, 75 on Tuesday. If you've got things you need to get done out in your lawn and in your garden, or just get on the bike and roll, this is going to be spectacular.
Pedal it. Get it going. Get it moving. Get into motion. You're absolutely right. It's going to be a beautiful week, this upcoming week.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. You know, those type of temperatures makes it, you know, it's just so comfortable to get out and do something in the landscape.
Right.
You know, you're not into you don't break out into a big sweat. You might. I don't. You know, it just depends on what kind of shape you're in.
I break out into a sweat thinking about going out and doing something.
It's not bad. And you know, even better, since you're talking about that really nice forecast,
mm-hmm.
take advantage of that forecast. We always talk about weed control.
Right.
If there's some things in your lawn or whatever it's plaguing you, like we always say, once you approach when you push the envelope of 85 degrees, it's lights out. Don't even spray for weeds.
Sure.
But, you know, with those temperatures, it's ideal to go after some weeds that are in the lawn. So that's a huge, huge benefit.
Yeah, and a big window to do that, too, with the next 5 or 6 days without rain.
Absolutely.
Temperatures in the 70s?
Yep. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Great. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Great ways to stay connected with us. Jump onto our Facebook page. Look us up and like us. And you can post pictures, pose questions. We're going to be visiting the Facebook comment section here a little later on to find out what if we can answer a few questions there. But when we come back,
what's gnawing on you at home? Because I'm going to tell you what's been bothering me.
Uh-oh.
A little pesky fellow. Uh-oh. Fellows, more than one. But we're going to talk about these dudes.
Okay.
Get under my skin a little bit.
In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And what is bugging you, Tony?
Can you say chipmunk?
I can say chipmunk.
Man.
Chipmunk.
They're busy at my house.
Are they really?
That's all I can tell you.
Alvin!
Unbeknownst to me, I was just outside the other day, and I just see this flurry of activity, and I'm thinking, no way. And it's been a long time since I've had some chipmunk issues.
What did you notice first?
They're out there just sitting on the stone rocks like they're ruling the whole backyard, the whole roost. That's what I noticed first. And actually, just mowing recently, a lot of tunnels, a lot of holes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can just see where those burrows start. And those burrow holes can go as far as or as up to as long as 20 feet in length sometimes.
Holy
guacamole. And you know, those guys can be a little destructive, too.
They can.
You know, they just disturb everything, you know, if you have stoops or if you have porches or you name it, stone mm-hmm. steps. Mm-hmm. You know, they love those kind of areas, you know, up close to the foundation, wherever they can burrow.
Right.
I don't know. What about you? You ever had any issues with... you have a cat, though.
I don't
have a cat.
And it's been a really productive season for our cats. Pedro has probably brought in, I would say, double-digit moles.
So he's having a good year, huh?
Yeah, yeah, he's having a great year.
A good 2017.
His batting average is up pretty high. And, of course, when the young grandsons are over there, they refer to those as sleeping mice outside. Don't go outside, Papaw. There's a sleeping mouse.
You'll wake them up.
So Mamaw comes and puts them in a place where they can sleep a little better. And then Opie is the other one that he catches. He goes after the ground squirrels or the chipmunks.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll bring one or two of those up every now and then. So we don't really have that much of an issue. But you would think after all of the death, they would not come to the house.
I don't know. You know, sometimes, too, when you have activity like that, then what it ultimately leads up to are a lot of snake activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I'm in a woodland type of setting, which is ideal for chipmunks. But I know that I typically trap. You know, I need to trap. But here's some interesting facts about the chipmunk, too, of all things. I was kind of reading a little bit of information about them. And, you know, they're related to the squirrels, matter of fact.
Right.
Did you know that?
Like, I did.
Yeah. Cousins of squirrel.
Yeah.
But they usually weigh less than a pound in weight. And their average lifespan, I thought it was a little bit longer than this, 2 to 3 years.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Wow.
Would you have thought longer?
I would.
I mean, I did.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Average size, maybe around 6 inches in length, you know, when they're adults. With a little three-inch tail.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
do you think about that?
That's size.
That's not. Yeah, good size.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enough to do enough damage, right?
So you're in the chipmunk relocation program.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I will relocate a chipmunk, but I will definitely take a chipmunk way out. Sometimes you never know. If it's close by, they'll beat you home.
Yeah, that's right. So,
but everybody who likes natives, this is a good thing. They're native to North America.
Yeah.
With the exception of, I think there's a Siberian chipmunk, which I don't know much about or heard of, but for the most part, I mean, they're native to North America. So that's mm-hmm. a good thing, I guess, since, you know, most people like natives. So there you go.
Yeah.
What do you think their habits are like around the house?
Jibbery.
But usually, and now here's the reason why I ask you this is because I have stacked wood down in our backyard. And there's a lot of activity around that. And I know that you have a lot of wood, so I didn't know if that's why I brought that up.
Yep, we find them in the shed. They've burrowed underneath the shed and underneath the wood pile.
Well, I'll tell you what, they can get into some. You know, they can dig.
Oh, yeah.
Dig big time some extensive burrow systems.
Sure.
Is that where that name came from? Like, if you're in New York, what borough do you live in?
I don't know.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, you say I'm a chipmunk?
Well, we found out quite early that we can't leave any bird seed or any kind of right. seed at all out no. there unless it's in a metal can.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's part of their diet.
Uh-huh.
You should know that.
Yeah.
You know about diets.
I do. I've been on a lot of them.
But, you know, I didn't know this. They have two different types of burrows, as a matter of fact. There's a shallow burrow, and there's one that's even more complex, deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And the shallow burrow is the one that you typically see them, like, take refuge. You know, when they're foraging during the day and you happen to walk outside, you know, they scurry to that little type of run.
Uh-huh.
So they can hide, get out of the way. And then a deeper, more complex burrow is the one where they spend most of the winter in. But they're still active trying to store that burrow with goodies and finds throughout the season.
Yeah.
So they can winter over. And
wow.
I kept thinking about you when I was reading about this, you know. Well, you do that out in the shed. Don't you take food out there and kind of store it?
We do. It's amazing how much, I guess, natural activity is in our backyard. Deer.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen fox back there. We've seen coyotes. And it's not a very big backyard. You know, but it shocks me when we see stuff like this. Now, we haven't seen a snake. When you said that it sometimes will draw snake activities, we've not seen any snakes at the house.
You know, especially black snakes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few years ago, you know, I don't know what it was. Now, I haven't seen any snakes in my backyard last couple of years, to be honest with you. But there was a couple of seasons where I had a lot of black snake activity.
Right.
And usually, you know, it's mice or it's chipmunks. Sure. You know, those are, I guess, ideal prey for the good old black snake. And the black snake will startle you. But, you know, it seems like that brings that type of activity into play when you have these little rodents running around.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing that really bothers me most about snakes is the being startled by them and not
absolutely.
Noticing
it. One time I was down in the backyard. I have a potting bench underneath my deck, you know, with running water and just, you know, dirt on it and so forth.
Yeah.
And it was one evening I was down there. It was actually in the afternoon. And I'm just doing some things. And I just happened to look up. There's this black snake coiled around my water line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, jetting out about 2 or 3 feet, like looking at me right in the face. I was like, whoa.
Hey, and how are you, sir? Yeah. But so what do you plan on doing with your chipmunks?
I'm a trap. I have a Have-A-Heart trap.
Okay.
And I love that name for that particular, you know, the Have-A-Heart series. There's traps. And it's like, I guess you got to have a heart and capture and release, maybe. Is that where that name comes from?
Yeah.
Have-A-Heart.
You'll like this. I got a great little chipmunk story from when I was a child. My brother and I, Cliff, are the two youngest in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And our oldest sister, Emma, went away to college down to Morehead State University. And it was a family event where we had to take her down to get her in, you know, move-in day or whatever. And I can't remember. I was maybe 7 or 8 or somewhere around that area.
Mm-hmm.
And Cliff a little bit younger. And we noticed this chipmunk while we were there. The adults are all trying to get people moved in. And, of course, Cliff and I are goofing off. And we caught a chipmunk down in Morehead. And found a box or something that they had discarded, put the chipmunk in it, and snuck it into the car. We were going to bring it back, or we did bring it back.
Oh, you just remind me of a story, too. Go ahead.
Don't call me a goat head.
No.
So none of the family members, except Cliff and I, knew that this chipmunk was in the car. And we're driving back home, and daggone thing got out of the box while we're in the car. It was sheer pandemonium, screaming and yelling and all this sort of chaos going on. And Cliff and I were upset because we thought Dad was going to, we knew we were going to get disciplined, but we also knew Dad was going to heave that chipmunk out of the car as soon as he could catch it.
Did he have a couple of choice words, too, at the same time?
He had a wonderful way of decorating language.
Awesome. So he had his own Rosetta Stone kind of approach to the English language. I like it.
It took us years to learn how to do that.
You know what? Keep that in mind because we need to take a quick break. Yeah. You just reminded me, you talk about a chipmunk in a car. we had that happen to us as well.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the diet. You know all about the diet, right?
Oh,
chipmunks.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what
oh,
they
yeah.
like, and we'll tell you how to solve some of your problems.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We were talking about what's bugging us, and Tony's been bugging or has been bugged by some ground squirrels or chipmunks. And I shared a story about an experience my brother Cliff and I had back in the day. And you've got one, too.
Yeah, it was funny when you talked about the car. It immediately reminded me of, we just had a chipmunk incident about a year ago. It went like this. One day, Tina's telling me there's something in her car that smells foul. And I'm like, what could it be?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she you know, looked all over, and underneath the seat was a dead chipmunk.
Oh.
So how did it get in our car? That was interesting, to say the least.
Right.
But the other thing that I was really, like, thankful that didn't happen, you know, they have sharp teeth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this little dude could have, like, gnawed and chewed on the seats, all kinds mm-hmm. of stuff to get out. You know, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's typically what happens.
And that's probably what happened to the one in the car back in the 60s coming from Moorhead. It just chewed its way out of the box. Sheer pandemonium.
But that was funny. You reminded me of that. Yeah. And I just, that came to thought. That was great.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have been a fly on a dashboard in that car to hear your dad.
Wow.
I bet that was funny.
Man.
Were you cringing?
Well, we were trying to help try to catch it, you know, and then, of course, we were told to sit still for a few minutes.
Well, I know this, you know, their diet consists of a number of different things, kind of like yours, pretty extensive. I mean, it doesn't look like they hold back.
Right.
But typically, it's all about nuts, seeds and grains. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about, you know, you have those bird feeders and so forth.
Sure.
I mean, that's an invitation right there in itself.
It is.
Berries, corn, insects, mushrooms. But here's the other issue, too. I mean, they like to, you know, gnaw on plant roots, you know, the roots of plants and different things. They'll dig up bulbs.
Yeah.
So they're not always our friends in the garden, you know. And it's like, gosh, these guys can be just a nuisance. You know?
Yes, they can. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We were talking about some little critters that are bugging us. Stephanie is on the line, Tony. And she's got some gopher issues. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi. So you have gophers?
I'm moles? Pretty sure they're moles.
Okay.
And it started with just one area of my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found this stuff at Lowe's that was like fuller's earth and castor oil and sprinkled that on my grass. And it worked, but it moved them to the other side of my yard. And now it's a full-on invasion. They've moved into my garden, and they've consumed a quarter of my yard with tunnels that...
Oh, wow.
I've tried, you know, those smoker things, and I've bought, like, three traps, and I just can't seem to get rid of them.
Well, the smoke bombs, those don't work, and neither do the poison peanuts. And just what you said about the granular product that's the castor oil bean related product that does just exactly what you said. It just runs them.
Mm-hmm.
Your best bet is trapping. What type of traps did you pick up?
They were just the Tomcat ones that you can get at Lowe's where they have like claws on each side.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. I know that my experience has been using the trap from WireTech. And as a matter of fact, I just loaned my trap out to somebody the other day, and they sent me a picture that they were successful at the kill. So, you know, that's the best way to get rid of them, to be quite honest. And you need to identify the main run.
And,
okay. Just go out to one of your local garden centers and nurseries that sell a lot of, you know, supplies, you know, stuff like that for trapping and so forth. Where are you calling from, by the way?
I live in the East State area.
Okay. Stop over there at Burger Farms, because I know Bart, he and I have talked about this particular trap before in the past, and he was the one telling me about it and introduced me to this particular trap, and I swear by it. I like it better than the harpoon trap, and that's the scissor trap from WireTech.
Okay.
And identify that main run. I'm sorry, Ernie.
What? No, I was just going to say they move twice a day, early in the day and just right around dusk. So it might be in your best interest to spend a little time just sitting out there and watching the yard. And when you start to see them move, you'll start to see the ground move a little bit where they're tunneling. And then that's where you're going to place that trap.
Okay.
Yeah, identify the main run. And what typically you can do that, like just gently step on some of the tunnel runs and just frequently go back and check those tunnel runs. And whichever tunnel runs have popped up, usually that's the main thoroughfare. That's where you want to set your traps. And okay. If you don't get any activity in 48 hours, relocate the trap to another area in the run.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment, and when we come back...
We're still going to talk about the chipmunk. We have a few fun facts to share with you, and even a gift card, because I have a trivia question for you.
Trivia question. We'll be right back. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Going to be a great day to get some stuff done around your house. But before you go, to start to work on that, get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center. Still plenty of great product out there. Still plenty of time to plant. And we've been talking a little bit about some things that have been bugging you. And Tony's got some chipmunk issues. And we were going to do a little trivia.
Little trivia. But a few fun facts about the chipmunk. I know they're not fun to watch, like where they might be a little destructive around the home, so to speak. But believe this or not, one chipmunk can gather as many as 150 acorns a day. Mm-hmm. That's one busy chipmunk.
Yeah.
I think you could outdo him.
I might be able to.
Huh?
I might be able to.
You can eat 150 steaks in one day. I think you can outdo him. They also have pouches located inside their cheeks in which they store food when they're foraging, mm-hmm. kind of like you. Mm-hmm. A lot of similarities here. I just thought this was a great topic, especially I was having problems with them. And I thought, you know, Ernie can relate to these guys. You take that all so well.
I earned it.
Well, good. I'm glad. Good. I won't take it away from you either. And like I was telling you, I found this to be really interesting, to say the least. That the main entrance to some of these burrows, mm-hmm. they can run as far back as 20 feet in length. That's pretty extensive.
That is.
You think you're waiting for him at the entrance, and he's somewhere else.
Watching
he's popped
you.
Up watching you. Yeah, just like on Caddyshack.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Here's the trivia question. Whoever can call in and tell us what the answer is to this. I always like these kind of things.
Sure.
A group of chipmunks is called what? And you'll get a $20 gift card to Jackson Florist and Garden Center. What do you call a group of chipmunks?
You've got the answer. Give us a call. 749-B105.
I don't want you to answer, but any ideas, or just think about that.
I
thought this was kind
of
fun. I thought it was fun. But anyway, the best way to get rid of them is to trap them, just simply trap them. I have a little have-a-heart trap.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little door. It slides down once they trigger it. And I do have a heart. I release these guys. I take them out to the
wild. Out to the farm.
I take them out where they can run wild. Further out than before they can beat me home.
Sure.
How's that?
Yeah.
But I do like the chipmunks, but I will relocate those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm supposed to do that. It's probably against the law to do that. Who knows? But I'm not saying to do that.
I don't know if they could, no, I can't say that anymore either. You just never know what new law may surface. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Make sure you jump on our Facebook page, look us up, and like us. We're going to like you right back. We always have a bunch of great information available for you. And do we have a winner? A possible winner? Okay. Let's go to the phones and see. Hi, who is this?
This is Ron Wells.
Hi, Ron. What's your answer?
Scurry.
Yes.
A scurry.
Don't you just like those kind of little terms? I read that the other day, and I thought, that's kind of interesting. So, did you know that, or did you have to look that up? Be honest.
I did. I've known it for a long time ago, and I'm a hunter, so, it's just something I've known for a long time.
Beautiful. Well, hang on the line. We're going to have to get some information from you, and then we'll get you that card.
Perfect.
So thanks. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. You were going to say before we went into the break about some other interesting tidbits about chipmunks?
Oh, just the fact that I didn't even know they would have a couple of litters a year, too. That was interesting. 4 to 5 babies. That's quite a few. Yeah, you know, yeah. All of a sudden, you could have aunts and uncles, cousins, relatives all the way down the line.
They can populate an area. My favorite, you have to just let nature run its course, and it's natural for the cats to hunt them and to catch them, and unfortunately, they do die. But they also have a little bit of a defense there, and it's been hilarious to watch at times when either Opie or Pedro have caught one, and they'll, I guess, think they've got it killed or wounded enough, and they'll let go of it, as cats will often do, and this thing will flop and flip and roll around like it's going crazy or it's struggling for its last gasp of air, and the moment the cat looks away, it rolls over and darts away. So they have their own little defense mechanism.
That is kind of funny. Yeah. You know, mice are the same way. When our cat catches mice, the greenhouse cat, same thing. You know, they'll just play dead.
Mm-hmm.
And if you or I are trying to get that mouse or that or that chipmunk, no, we wouldn't be that lucky.
Forget it. Forget it.
Run right along the wall and dart away. And we'll never see him again.
I do have another story I'll share with you off mic about an experience with a chipmunk at our house. But 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. Coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, we have a guest coming in.
And a couple guests coming from Bluegrass Meats. Yes, I'm looking forward to that interview. And they have this is their big year, as a matter of fact. It's a huge anniversary for Bluegrass Meats.
And when we come back, we're going to have a 5 things you need to know about grills. So we will talk about that coming back right after the break. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we are being joined now by Chris from Bromwells. Good morning, Chris. Thanks for so much for talking with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Ernie. Thanks for calling us.
It's a big weekend approaching 4th of July. And, of course, the official first day of summer is this week. And a lot of people are going to be spending time around their grills. And Bromwells has some awesome grills ready, don't you?
And typically the biggest grilling season is Memorial Day through the 4th of July. And we sell a few different types of grills. A lot of our grills have a lot of different accessories you can buy for them year-round, birthdays, Christmas, stuff like that.
Top quality kind of grill, too. A little something better than you're going to find at a big box store, right?
The Tech Grill is one of our biggest sellers. We do sell the Tech. We do the Fire Magic. We do the Holland. And what's popular over the past few years has been the Big Green Egg.
The Big Green Egg. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the Big Green Egg is a charcoal smoker. I mean, you can do everything on it, but its specialty is low and slow type cooking. A lot of the heavy grillers love the charcoal taste in their food, the hot temperatures that the charcoal achieves, how well the Big Green Egg holds its heat and the moisture. Food just basically tastes better on the Big Green Egg than most other grills.
Cooking and outside spaces have come full circle. Tell us, first of all, how we can get a hold of Bromwells, where you're located, and your website.
Well, our website is bromwells.com. We are located in downtown Cincinnati at 117 West 4th Street. Real easy to get to off of Route 75. We are open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., with extended hours on Thursday nights till 7. The good news about the grills we sell, there's not a whole lot of service that needs to be done with grills that we sell. It is a higher quality, but there are times that over the years, if you're a serious griller and grill more than, you know, once, twice, three times a week, the grills do have some wear and tear on them, and we do offer service to them, yes.
Now, I got to be honest with you, Chris. Tony always gives me so much grief because my wife handles the grill, and he thinks he ought to take my man card from me because of that. But anybody can learn to grill, especially when you have the right equipment, right? What kind of grills would you suggest to homeowners these days?
Well, depends your grilling expertise. Of course, all of us guys love to think that we are the grill masters. The fact of the matter is, most of the time, it's actually the grill doing all the heavy lifting, all the hard work. We do have a grill called the Holland Grill that we just brought in this year that is one of those grills that you just set a temperature and you walk away from it and the grill does all the work. You come back when it's done and you're done and the food is phenomenal. Tech Grill is a more of a high-performance grill. It doesn't cook like your typical gas grill. It takes a little learning to grill on that, but in my opinion, I believe the Tech Grill is the best cooking grill in our industry. A lot of regular gas grills won't get those real hot temperatures. Tech uses an infrared technology that will get that 1,000-degree, you know, charcoal-like temperature in a gas grill. So that's why a lot of serious grillers love the charcoal. They say it makes your food taste better. Well, the thing about the charcoal is it's just it burns at a hotter temperature than what most gas grills do. So keeping the true flavor of the food inside the food is the primary goal, and that's what really makes the food the best.
Now, here's the real hard question. What's your favorite thing to grill?
The all-American answer is steak. Steak's my favorite. The grills that we carry, there's a million different things you can do. I own a Tech, so I'm going to always lean towards that one because of the hot temperatures. I'm real into pork tenderloin, pork butts, ribs, anything that's going to give me some cholesterol, I guess.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for talking with us and the five things you need to know about grilling. It's the time to get down to Bromwell's and get your grill ready for the rest of the summer. Give us your contact information one more time and when you're open.
Once again, you can reach us at 513-621-0620. We are located at 117 West 4th Street here in downtown Cincinnati. And our hours are Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., with extended hours on Thursdays till 7.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Going to be gorgeous weather. It is just going to be picture perfect. Very pleasant.
It's looking nice out there.
I agree. Low humidity, temperatures in the 70s for the next several days, and lots of sunshine. Great time to get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center. What's going on down at Jackson, by the way?
We're having our annual penny sale starts today. Kicks off at 8:30, and what that really entails is that you can buy an item. It could be an annual, it could be a perennial, it could be a shrub, it could be a tree, at regular price, and pair it up with something else of equal or lesser value for a penny.
How can you beat that?
You can't beat that. Just put a link in down, and there you are. So we do this sale every year, and it's going to be an interesting and fun, you know, fun-filled day, that's for sure. So when I leave here, I'm headed straight over to the garden center, and it'll be steady all day, which is a good thing.
Do you go through all the pennies and look for wheatbacks?
Exactly. Are there any collectibles, any certain years that I need to look for?
Every once in a while, you see something come across your news feed, and then I'll spend hours looking through all the pennies at the house and never find a one. I have a bunch of wheatbacks, but never found anything really unique.
Yeah, I don't know that much about coins, but that's a whole other topic in itself. My dad collects a lot of coins.
Does he?
But I understand there's some coins out there that maybe are rare mints or prints or whatever, however you want to term it as being, and are worth quite a bit of money. But I don't have time to go through that. I have a jar full of pennies. Who wants to count those?
Nobody's got time
to. No.
So, and all of our local leaders, all of our sponsors for the show are having big sales and great opportunities for you to get in there and pick up some great product, as we talked last week. Plenty of time.
Oh, there is. We have a whole season ahead of us. We have some great weather ahead of us. You know, it's not the end of the season. There's a lot of beautiful plant material out there at all the local home, you know, the home and garden centers and so forth, and nurseries. We're always trying to restock things. And after we have our sale, what we'll do, we'll revamp and we'll start bringing in new material again. So plenty of time to do things. Plenty of time, plenty of time to work out in the landscape, design the landscape. I really want to put some emphasis on this as well. It's time to even put down your second application of dimension,
right?
You know, your landscape beds, the first application, I'm sure it's coming to an end, to a halt, so to speak. And it's time to put down that second application of dimension, which is high yields, turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper. It's just like preen. I like it a little bit better. I have to give it a slight advantage because one thing, it's easier on the pocket from a monetary standpoint. And the other big thing is it will give you one added month of protection.
Very nice.
You can't beat that.
Yep. Also, want to remind you, it's always a great way to stay connected with us is our In and Around the House Facebook page. And then, Tony, we have a message from Stephanie Clancy. Mm-hmm. She's got a question for you. She wants to plant a few trees in her yard, but wants something that stays pretty small. Do you have any recommendations?
Oh, yeah. You know, and that seems that's where the trend is going, and that's a great question. You know, when it comes to small trees, there's a huge variety of trees to choose from, and I'll just throw a couple out there that come to the top of my mind, and always the Japanese maple. That's a small growing tree, a great tree to have in the landscape. Different varieties you can choose from. Certainly get out to your local garden centers and nurseries and see what type of Japanese maples are on hand. Also, another favorite of mine, I was just over at Spring Grove Cemetery the other day and saw a few of these out over there in the cemetery, the paper bark maple. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. You can't keep from falling in love with that particular tree. Beautiful, beautiful bark, how it exfoliates and so forth, which is going to lead into one of our plant of the week, which is nine bark. So just a little bit of a hint there, what we're going to talk about later. Also, the service berry. I really like the service berry as well, and I've talked about this one often in the past. There's one in particular that I love, 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 and that's called Autumn Brilliance. So you can't go wrong with the service berry. Also, very popular today are various varieties of hydrangeas that are tree form.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Little Limes, Quick Fire, Pinky Winky. Those are excellent to have in the landscape. They stay rather small. And just give you an abundance of blooms in the summer. You can't go wrong with a tree form hydrangea. Lilacs as well. There's some tree form lilacs. So those will serve the purpose for, the question that we had there and from Stephanie. Magnolia, Sweet Bay. That's another one of my favorites. Can't go wrong with that one either.
Mm-hmm.
None of these you can go wrong with. How's that?
I like that.
You know, a tree, real quick, last but not least. Well, I got a couple more. There's a couple red buds, Lavender Twist,
mm-hmm.
Ruby Falls. Those will be good selections. Forest Pansy. But one that we don't talk about a lot, but I like a great deal, is a hawthorn, a Winter King hawthorn. Now, a lot of people will steer away from this particular tree because it does have pretty lengthy, sizable thorns on it. I mean, hence the name hawthorn. But beautiful, like light gray bark. It really shows up in the winter months. Gets orange berries on it. Blooms in the spring. You can't beat it. And the winter king hawthorn is something I would seriously consider as well.
749-B105, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And a great way to stay connected with us is our Facebook page. You can also email us, In and Around the House at B105.com. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk with our friends at Bluegrass Quality Meats and give you some ideas, some great product to be putting on your grill, because today, tomorrow, Tony loves the grill all the time, and my wife does too. I just am not very good at it, but we're going to celebrate Bluegrass Quality Meats and their products. Some great stuff.
I you know what? And when you say that, I think of brats. You know, just all that stuff. I don't know. I have a great brat recipe I want to bring to the table when those guys join us this morning.
Okay.
Love that kind of stuff.
749-B105, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center today. A lot of great product. And as Bob from Bard's Nursery had said, you can plant all summer long. So a lot of people sometimes will go, I didn't have an opportunity to get it in. Speaking of, how are your tomatoes? You got any tomatoes yet?
You know, as a matter of fact, I have a couple celebrities that uh-huh. are turning red.
Yeah.
And they're nice, and I'm ready to tear into a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
I was just over at the farmer's market at Lumpkin Airport the other day and picked up some tomatoes, but I think they're still, they were kind of helped along in a hothouse, so to speak. We're not far away from ripe tomatoes.
No.
Mm, and I can't wait either.
And bragging rights.
Well, I tell you what, I like I said, the celebrities, one of my favorite tomatoes, just starting to turn. And I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Mouth watering in it.
Big time.
749-B105, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Got to pause for a moment. When we come back,
we're going to talk about the plant of the week, and that's the Physocarpus called nine bark. We're all familiar with this beautiful shrub, and it's a must-have in a landscape. provided you have a little bit of room for this particular guy. So hang in there with us. Give us a call, 749-B105, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. It is going to be a great day to get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center and pick up the plant of the week. What do you got, Tony?
It's a plant that we sometimes forget about, and it's been around for a while. And I was just looking around the other day in the nursery, and we picked up a couple new introductions, varieties for this season. And I thought, you know, let's kind of talk about it. And that's ninebark. It's a wonderful shrub. Mm-hmm. It's and hence the name ninebark. You know, it's noted for its exfoliating bark. You know, as it matures, the bark starts to peel. It has various layers, and it creates a lot of interesting. It's a look that's unbelievable during the winter months. You know, it's almost like the birch tree. You know, we're all familiar with the birch tree, how that bark exfoliates. And I was just a moment ago talking about the paper bark maple. Mm-hmm. You know, I think bark on a tree is just as interesting, or a shrub, than always, you know, then the foliage is sometimes, or even what it does in the fall and so forth.
Sure.
So looking for different species throughout the course of the season that gives us seasonal interest is what's really important to me as a gardener. And I think that ninebark lends itself to that. And not only do we get that nice winter interest, we get beautiful blooms from ninebark. It's a late spring blooming type of shrub. And we get various colors of foliage with ninebark. And in particular, this year, a new introduction that we have in the garden center is one that I think is just drop-dead gorgeous. It's called ginger wine. And ginger wine, it's a standout. It really is. It totally stands out from the rest of the crowd. And when I say the rest of the crowd, I'm talking about the other ninebarks. It has this gorgeous, deep reddish, like orange foliage. And it stays that way, you know, it starts out that way in the spring, and it stays that way throughout the summer months. And it has these nice large white flowers that give way and turn to seed with this red color mm-hmm. as we progress throughout the season. So there's a lot of interest here with ginger wine. It will get around 5 to 6 foot in height and almost the same, you know, width or spread. So if you have an area in the landscape that this might fit in, it's certainly one that you need to consider or think about. So get out to your local garden centers and nurseries and look for ginger wine. And another key attribute to ginger wine is that it exhibits excellent mildew resistance. And when we talk about mildew, it's like what we call powdery mildew. It's a white substance that sometimes can get on the surface of our leaves, of our shrubs and trees, and even our perennials. And a lot of times that has to do with the plant species itself. Some are more prone to those kind of situations than others. It has a lot to do with moisture, you know, the heat, the humidity. Mm-hmm. But this particular variety of ninebark ginger wine shows great resistance to mildew. So it's definitely worth having. And another key attribute as well is that it's native to North America. So for those people who are into the native plants, you know, you can't go wrong with ninebark.
Love that.
And Ernie, there's another one. I'm not finished. Called Amber Jubilee. Outstanding color as well. And this ninebark, it too is resistant to powdery mildew. Gets around 5 to 6 foot in width or height, and about 4 in width. So full sun. These shrubs are full sun, and they're great performers in the landscape. You can't beat them. So look for these at your local garden centers and nurseries. They're plants well worth having. If you're looking for something a little smaller in size, then maybe, you know, you might want to consider one called Little Devil. Gets about 3 to 4 foot in height and about the same in width. It, too, likes full sun. Has more of an upright spreading habit. Finer textured foliage. Dark reddish purple leaves. And this, too, is another nice ninebark to have in the landscape. Low maintenance. When we talk about some of the ninebarks, you know, there's not a lot of maintenance required. They, in fact, one thing I want to point out, if you want to prune one, it's not necessary unless you're pruning out anything that's dead, diseased, or damaged. You can let them go, but they bloom on old wood, meaning if you prune them back late in the season, you know, going into the fall, mm-hmm. you're more than likely to prune out some of next year's bloom buds.
Good.
So if you want to prune them or trim them up or shape them up, do it when they are finished blooming. A great shrub. Again, look for these at your local garden centers and nurseries throughout the tri-state. We still have a great deal, a lot of time ahead of us to work in the landscape, to plant a lot of plants. And with next week's forecast, the way that it is, as you described it, it's going to be beautiful, Ernie. It's
going to be gorgeous.
Oh, I just makes you want to get out and do things in the yard.
Yes, it does.
It does. How is your lawn looking, by the way?
Pretty good. That's one of the things that I was excited about when you said we can go right back to treating some of those weeds and stuff, because, you know, it was so rainy for a long time, and then it got so hot that you couldn't really do anything. So we've got a couple of areas that we are going to attack and clean up and tidy up. Lisa's changed a couple of things around the house as you walk down the sidewalk. To the back part of our house, she had Adam rototill up that part of the, there was some grass between the sidewalk and the rock wall, and she's put some plants in there. It looks just beautiful.
That makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, I managed to get in a nice little light fertilization, and I did that with Milorganite. The other day, I managed to mow the yard before we had all this rain here recently. And it's looking really good. It's trimmed up, you know, nice and green, dark green. And I'm happy as a lark. You know, it's just take advantage of the weather. You know, just if you have some issues, we were talking earlier in the show when we came on earlier in the program, with the temperatures getting a little lower, not being above 85, it's ideal. It's a great window of opportunity to take care of some broadleaf weeds that might be plaguing you in the lawn. And when you're going after some of those broadleaf weeds, and one in particular that's really taking center stage right now, and I see it all throughout, is clover.
Yeah.
There's a lot of clover activity out there, Ernie. And it doesn't take long for clover to get a foothold into your lawn. But, you know, we talk about products all the time, and I'm a big, avid fan of Weed Free Zone from Fertiloom. That is one of the best broadleaf weed killers on the market. It is, too, a selective herbicide. When we say selective, what we mean is that it can identify between turf and broadleaf weeds. You know, a non-selective herbicide would be something like Roundup or Kills-All. Whatever it gets on, it doesn't matter. It's either going to injure it or kill it. So look for Weed Free Zone at your local garden centers and nurseries. The temperature is going to be conducive for you to get out there and battle some of these guys that have been troubling you since the early spring.
And, you know, something that you mentioned last week that I just started to notice along the rock wall is some of that nuts edge.
And really? I haven't seen any nuts edge yet.
Just recently.
We can talk about that, too, if you want to get into it. Usually, I think that I've battled it long enough. Sometimes it could take a course of a couple of seasons to really get it under control or eradicate it. Last year, I wasn't plagued this much. And keep in mind, you know, you'll start seeing nuts edge, what Ernie's talking about, as we progress further into the summer months, you know, as we start climbing in humidity and temperatures and you get that moisture, it's a... It's the ideal playground for nuts edge. And all of a sudden, it's in the lawn. And it's easy to identify because when you mow your grass, it will outpace the grass. As soon as after you mow it, you'll start seeing it outpace the growth of your turf. And it's light green in color. And don't pull it.
No, it makes it even worse.
No, it makes it even worse.
And that's hilarious. Almost by the time you get the mower back in the shed,
it's growing.
It's growing. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we have Paul Rice and David Kegley from Bluegrass Quality Meats are going to be joining us because we are right in the heart of the cookout season, and we're going to help them spread some word about their celebrating their 150th year in business, and we'll talk to them at the 8 o'clock hour. But we do need to pause when we come back.
You know, let's kind of continue that conversation with the nuts edge and just a couple of things that you might want to pick up at the garden center to combat it if, in fact, you see it creep up and get into your lawn.
Get started early on it. We need to pause. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Tony Wurst from In and Around the House, and I hope that you've been saving your pennies, because Jackson Florist and Garden Center's penny sale is back and going on right now. Buy one item at regular price, and you can get a second item of equal or lesser value for just a penny. That's right, just a penny. The sale includes annuals, perennials, trees and shrubs, and also the pond plants. Jackson still has a great selection of Japanese maples, hydrangeas, lilacs, and many others, too many to mention. You can also save 25% off of all concrete bird baths, benches, and fountains. And there's still a wonderful selection of concrete urns, fountains, table sets, and statuary that will definitely create an awe-inspiring look in your landscape. If you're getting a late start or still need to fill a few voids in the landscape, take advantage of this awesome sale. You've been waiting for it, and now it's back. It's the Jackson Florist and Garden Center Penny Sale. Buy one item and get a second item of equal or lesser value for just a penny. Jackson Florist is located at 3124 Madison Avenue, just off of I-275, the Covington Independence Exit number 80. Turn left and Jackson's is about 2 miles down on the left.
Where's the best place in Western Hills to buy your lawn and gardening supplies and get expert advice? Schwab's Nursery and Garden Center. Schwab's is in full swing for summer. Come in and see their beautiful shrubs and perennials. They also have a great selection of mulches, bagged and bulk. Schwab's is the only garden center with a full line of name brand power equipment, including Steel, Toro, and Cub Cadet. Schwab's Nursery and Garden Center, 3478 Ebenezer Road, or call 574-0020.
You know I love to talk about Fertilume products. I've seen from experience that they're outstanding and they truly work. For instance, the tree and shrub systemic drench, the unbeatable three-step lawn fertilizer program, and their herbicides such as Weed Free Zone and Weed Out with Q. I want you to look for these Fertilume products and more at the independent and family-owned businesses that I call local leaders in our communities. I really believe in supporting small businesses. And listen, if you're on the west side of Cincinnati, see Jeff at White Oak Garden Center, Ron Robin at Robin's Florist and Garden Center, and check out the fine folks at Schwab Nursery and Garden Center. If you're on the east side of Cincinnati, you can also find Fertilume products there with my friend Bart at Burger Farm in Newtown, Bob at Bart's Nursery in Amelia, and Barb at Plants by Wolf Angle in Anderson. North of the river, go see my good friend Jim at Lakeview Garden Center in Fairfield, and Ed at Ed's Feed and Seed in Montgomery. South of the river, we didn't forget about you. Check out the fine folks at Maddie's Garden Center in Florence, Bayton's Nursery in Union, and hey, yeah, that Jackson Florist and Garden Center in Covington. If you want the best for your home, get Fertilume.
TriCountyMall.com.
It's spring, so don't let the season go by without a trip or two to Ammon Nursery in Burlington. Ammon Nursery has been family-owned since 1950, and 80% of their stock is grown locally. You'll find the largest selection of quality plants in northern Kentucky. Come check out the new and improved varieties of trees, shrubs, ornamental grasses, and perennials. At Ammon Nursery, plant selection is easy and fun, and delivery is even available. Ammon Nursery, at the new ramp on Route 237 in Burlington, and online at ammonplants.com.
When you're staring at a leaky pipe and water is seeping into the cracks of your hardwood floor, and the dog and two kids just ran through the water and are tracking more problems around the house, who has time to look up the number for a good plumber?
In times of crisis, just call service. 513-SERVICE is the number for Herman Services. They're the best for plumbing, heating, AC, and electric. They're fast, friendly, and have an easy number to remember in a crisis. 513-SERVICE. Yes, it's that easy. Just call Herman at 513-SERVICE.
The Kroger Buy 6, Save $3 sale is on now. Mix and match 6 participating items and save $3 instantly at checkout with your Plus card. Look for the special tags on favorites throughout the store. Fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Let's get back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Call us at 749-B105.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Got a lot of ground to cover. We've been talking a lot about some of your lawn and your landscape bed stuff. And I mentioned to Jim, just before we went into the break, I'm having a little bit of a nuts edge issue there along the rock wall. And now's the time to get on it.
Did you pull it to check
No,
characteristic? I mean, you can tell if it's nuts edge because it has a triangular shaped stem.
Yep. I remember from years ago not to pull it because it has those little seed pods in it. And the moment you pull it out, it distributes more seed and you're creating a bigger issue. You have to attack it with something, from the chemical aspect, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not going to hurt to pull one just to identify it or even take it into your local garden center or nursery and have somebody help identify it for you, or you know, tell you if in fact it is nuts edge or if it isn't. Usually, boy, that's one, that's a thorn in my side typically. And I don't like you even saying nuts edge. That, if that gets into the lawn, it can take a little while to get rid of it. But in order to get rid of it, what you can do is pick up High Yields Nuts Edge Killer. Okay, it's a little packet. It will mix up exactly 1 gallon, so you'll need a tank sprayer. It's very effective. But what you need to do, and the most important thing that you can do when you spray nuts edge to be effective, is to add a surfactant to it, a spreader sticker. And it's a product that you add to it. It's you can pick it up, too, at your local garden centers and nurseries. And what it does, when you spray nuts edge, what makes it difficult to control, if you're not using a spreader sticker, when you spray it, because it has a waxy blade, it repels what you're spraying off. So therefore, it's not adhering to it, and therefore, it's not penetrating or getting into the plant itself or into the nuts edge plant itself, and you're not successful at getting rid of it. So that surfactant comes into play. It helps facilitate the absorption of the product, and it makes it more effective. That's what you need to do. And here's the deal. So, and do not mow your grass 2 days before you apply the product, nor should you mow it 2 days after. Think about this. The more leaf surface or the more blade surface that you have, the more that the product is that you spray on it, the easier it gets into it. It's like rubbing up on poison ivy. You know, if you rub your whole arm up on it, you're going to have more poison ivy, right? So the bigger the blade, the better. So don't scalp it and then spray it.
So you, if you cut the lawn, let's say today or tomorrow, you could come back Tuesday or Wednesday and apply it?
Well, if it's Monday, then come back Wednesday or Thursday.
At least a couple of days.
Absolutely. And then you'll be able to identify it, too, because like you said, it outpaces the rest of the lawn. After you mow it, I mean, it's obvious that it's outgrowing the rest of the turf.
Then let me ask you this. We just had that tremendous rain, and we're going to let the lawn dry out just a little bit. So would you wait, let's say, beautiful day today, tomorrow, late tomorrow when it's dry enough, apply that and then wait till Wednesday to cut the grass?
Well, that's a great question, and I like you, that you asked this question.
Well,
because,
thank you very much.
Well, because, honestly, when you spray for broadleaf weeds or even nuts edge and so forth, after you have moisture like what we just had this past day or two, everybody's happy.
Yeah.
You know, when weeds and other things in the lawn that you want to get rid of are stressed, they kind of shut down too.
Yeah.
So when everybody's happy, it's always good to water your lawn or do it after a rain a couple of days.
Sure.
Because everybody's feeling good or joyous in the lawn or happy, and it makes those products more effective. It really does.
A little happiness going on.
That's right.
And that's the time to put it down.
So in your situation, if in fact that's what you have, I would go ahead, you know, probably tomorrow and spray it.
Good idea. Maybe get a little adult refreshment to handle this and just kind of walk around.
Yeah, get
the
a
yard.
Few of those. I'd get a few of those.
Yeah.
Ice them up.
Yeah. Ready to go.
Hang out.
And then my wife, Lisa, could pick up some bluegrass quality meat products, and she could do a little grilling, and I can, then I'll get her to snap a photo of me next to the grill and
tell you what
I was grilling.
I'll tell you what I'd like for you to do is to share this recipe that I used the other day, a little over a week ago, and it's a slaw that you put on the brat.
Oh.
I like to eat too, Ernie, but not as much as you.
Simmer down over there. Yeah,
it's all good. Okay, I'll do my best. I'll settle down.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to Paul Rice and David Kegley from Bluegrass Quality Meats. They're celebrating 150 years in business, and we're going to find out a little bit more about them and some of their product, and we need to pause for a moment. When we come back, though.
A couple announcements I want to bring to the table here. There's a little pond tour going on tomorrow at with Meyer Aquascapes. Talk a little bit about petals and petals at the Crone Conservatory. So we have a lot still on our plate yet, not to quite eat, but just to talk about this going on around the landscape.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It's going to be a great day to get some stuff done in and around your house. Beautiful weather outside. It might be a little soggy, so you may have to stay off of the lawn for a little bit because of all of the rain we had yesterday. But you could still work in your landscape bed. Plus, there are great sales at every one of our local leaders and great opportunities for you to pick up plants. You can plant all season long.
As long as the ground's not frozen, Ernie, you can plant anytime you want. But a couple of things going on. Our good friends at Meyer Aquascapes, Dan Meyer, does a great job with ponds and so forth, waterfalls, any type of feature that you want to involve water with. Dan Meyer does a great job. And tomorrow, over there in northern Kentucky, off of Mineola Pike, Karen Jetter is going to host, along with Meyer Aquascapes, a little garden party behind her house. And she has it's just an incredible pond feature. And Dan Meyer, have you ever been over there?
I don't think I have.
Mm-mm. Which right there off of the Mineola Pike exit. When you get off of the exit, you turn left, you go back over 275, and then you're on turn left like you're going into the, there's an executive park, and it's called Circle Point, and you're going to turn right onto Boonland Trail Road, and it's right down at the end of that that road, probably a couple hundred yards.
Mm.
It's a beautiful backyard.
Wow.
She even has chickens. She's into the chicken scene.
Yeah.
Oh, it has a big roost, like chicken, like a coop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she has music piped in there for them to listen to. I'm not kidding.
It's pretty Zach Brown band, maybe?
Yeah, Zach Brown band.
A little chicken
but, fried. Definitely check it out if you've never seen Karen Jetter's backyard. That's, again, with Meyer Aquascapes. You can go to aquascapes.com and get more information about that. Also, Saturday, July 1st, a big gig kicking off over at the Crone Conservatory called Pedals and Pedals.
Pedals and Pedals.
Hey, you can ride your bike up there to this
event. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Kicking off the summer floral show at the Crone Conservatory. We'll talk more about that in future shows, but mm-hmm. That's coming up as well. And just lots of things to do. You know, this time of year,
sure.
Festivals will be kicking off, church festivals, all that good stuff.
They're everywhere. I think the Panagiri Festival, the Greek Festival, started last night. So they get a chance to get out, have some fun. And also, this is the heart of the grilling season. It officially starts over Memorial Day and runs all summer long. And we've got some friends coming in at 8 o'clock, going to be joining us, Paul Rice and David Kegley from Bluegrass Quality Meats. And we're going to talk about some great stuff you could put on the grill.
Hey, you know what? I mean, you talk about a locally owned company that's been around for a long time over in northern Kentucky. They're celebrating 150 years, Ernie. That's incredible. That's being local mm-hmm. right there. Family owned still, generations deep, and I'm so interested to hear the story.
And I'm sure they were waited on with bated breath to hear your slaw recipe. You know, it's just on their website, and they have a place where you can submit some of your favorite recipes. With the,
really?
Yeah.
I'll check that out.
You might have to send the Tony slaw.
Well, it's not my slaw. I found this in a magazine.
Oh.
And I thought, that's kind of interesting. I like coleslaw,
uh-huh.
and I also like to, you know, dress up my brats and my Mets. It just adds a little flair to it.
Sure.
As strange as that might sound, I don't know. Do you ever, I always like mustard on them too, but some people like ketchup.
No.
Are you a ketchup person?
I'm a no
condiments?
No condiment kind of guy.
Oh, that's what's wrong. I see that.
Yeah, I never have been.
You know, that was a great interview you had, too, with Chris Waters over at Bromwell.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a grilling guru.
Yeah.
So yeah. I need to get over there. He told me stop over sometime and check out some of those grills. What's it called, the Tech Grill?
The Tech Grill is the one he has. And right. He also said the Green Egg is
that's big, too, the Green Egg. Yeah, that's a huge cult. That's a huge following right there.
Mm-hmm.
You need a Green Egg. Get the big one. You need something that will pull you into it, make you stay focused. You said you walked away from the grill the other day.
I was just, I think it's just my ADHD or whatever that's called, where I don't stay focused on anything. You know, poor Lisa walks around whenever I'm doing something or we're working around the house, and I hear this all day long. Let's finish one thing before we go to the next. Okay.
If you hear that all day long, I think you have a serious issue, and she's definitely intervening.
Here's the other one I hear all day long. What are you doing now, honey?
I just want to know what you're into.
I was doing this, and I thought about something else. He goes, well, let's go back and finish this first.
I hear you.
Kind of funny.
I hear you. You know, something else I want to draw attention to are water features. This time of year, a lot of people are looking to pick up water features for the landscape. You know, it could be as simple as a bird bath. It could be as simple as a fountain that resembles a bird bath with just a little bit of water movement. There are two of those other types of fountains that will give you a nice sound. And, you know, water features seem to put people at ease, you know, on the patio, the back deck.
That little bubbling sound is perfect, you know.
So I wanted to ask you, are you still intending on fixing that old elephant fountain of yours?
Well, there's some discussion about that, and I really don't know. Thinking about moving it again, although it is so heavy.
Well, here's what I want to add to that for you.
Okay.
If you let me know, it's not going to be long until I start placing orders for the next season, next spring.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to look for a replacement bowl, you need to let me know.
I never thought about the...
We've had this conversation.
No, I never thought about just replacing the bowl.
Yeah, you're not totally out.
Okay.
Didn't you pick up a pump for it not long ago?
Well, you gave me a pump.
Even better. See, that's, I'm a giving kind of guy.
You are.
Yeah.
And I still have it. We took it apart right at the fall when you said it was time to get that out of there, and we still have that.
You know,
right now it just has a couple of plants in it. You know, because the bowl does leak.
Well, I had to tell you this funny story, and this is a true story, and it's about a water feature. It's a fountain, and this is the first time I've ever sold a fountain, and the customer has never taken possession of it, and I'm not talking like a week or two. I'm talking like 3 years.
Wow.
Now, this all started at Findlay Market, okay? And it was one Saturday during the summer. My dad and I went down to Findlay, and after, you know, purchasing some goodies, we meandered down to the tail end of the market there where they have the beer garden.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of plopped down, and we had one beer, then had another, then another. And we're sitting there, and then this gentleman close to us, he goes, hey, you're from Jackson Florist and Garden Center, aren't you? And I was like, yeah. He goes, you have a fountain that I like. I admire it. He goes, I'm interested, you know, what you would take for it. And I was like, well, I don't know. Make me an offer. He goes, well, I'll stop by. I'll come by and I'll check it out. So he did. And he paid me for it. And it's a huge fountain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking the base of it.
Right.
And the reason why I brought this up is because he finally found somebody that will move it for him.
Oh.
But I told him, I said, if you pick it up, I'll sell it to you for that agreed price.
Sure.
Because I certainly didn't want to move it. I bought a concrete booth, and we were at the Galt House in Louisville. This thing is so heavy, we used pipe to roll it out.
Oh, wow.
So I knew I didn't want to handle it again.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, the fountain's going to find its home.
Oh, good.
But I thought that was kind of a funny story.
Yeah, that's nice.
It started over there at Findlay Market, of all places.
And it took a while to get home.
And it's taken a while to make its way home. So hopefully that happens here in the next couple of days.
Fantastic.
But I was talking about water features. Water features are so neat and cool to add to the landscape. You know, most of the local garden centers and nurseries, we carry water features. You know, when you're pretty much summing up, you know, your planting season and so forth, stop by and look at something that will accent the garden. And I can't think of a better way to do it.
Yeah.
Unless you're looking for some of those fancy spinners that you like that are wind driven from a kinetic standpoint.
No.
Yeah, those are popular as well.
But I do love those little signs. I got one from Bob out at Bard's Nursery a couple of years ago that's in a little area in front of the shed where a flower garden. And it said, always leave room in your garden for your angels to dance. And we've certainly done that. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we have Paul Rice and David Kegley from Bluegrass Quality Meats going to be joining us. We're going to talk a little bit about grilling and about cookouts and about how you can help them celebrate 150 years in business. When we come back.
Oh, let's focus a little bit more on the lawn. You know, we have some nice weather coming our way. I want to talk a little bit about that, put some more emphasis on it, and just take advantage of this window of opportunity and keep that lawn looking nice, because we don't want to have to repair it later in the season after we kind of turn our backs to things and not take care of it.
Agreed. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we've got some beautiful days coming our way. It's going to be a great time to get caught up in the lawn. And I know, Tony, you are not a big fan of fertilizing the lawn in the season.
No, not in the summer months. You're right. It's because, you know, it's the element of moisture, it being readily available in abundance, you know, plenty of rainfall. Because a lot of people will not take the time and effort to water their lawn. And I say it all the time, because you give me a little flack. You know, you always say that I like to pay the utility companies. But what I like to do is at least keep my lawn in shape to where I'm not having to repair it later in the season. So if you want to give it a little added boost, if you want to fertilize it in a non-goof way, a goof-proof way, is milorganite. You'll never go wrong using milorganite. It's low in nitrogen. It's non-burning. Has an element of iron, you know, with it that will help green up your lawn.
Okay.
So that is one approach. The other thing I want to point out, if and only if you might have an irrigation system, or you are diligent about watering when you need to water, giving your lawn 1 inch a week. Now, of course, we don't need it now because we just had a nice rainfall here from Tropical Storm Cindy. However, trust me, as we move forward throughout the summer months, we're going to run into some of those dry periods again. But if you do want to take this approach, you can certainly do it, but you must water as well. And I'm saying this because, you know, we've maybe lost a little bit of element with that first step from Fertilume, the prodiamine. And when I talk about prodiamine, that's the pre-emergent that keeps weed seed from germinating in our lawns.
Okay.
You know, we've had quite a bit of rainfall this spring. So what that does is starts breaking that product down. So therefore, we need to reevaluate and say, hey, do we need to reapply something? You can do one of two things. You can use high yields turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper, which is Dimension, and put that on your lawn to help protect it for the next 4 months. If you want to give a little bit of fertilization and get that pre-emergent protection, then use the red bag called All Seasons 2 from Fertilume. So that's the one with the prodiamine in it. You're going to get a little bit of fertilization. It's 16% nitrogen by the weight of that bag. Only if you're watering.
Okay.
You know, it's not always a good idea to, you know, fertilize in the middle of the summer, especially if you're not watering. But you could do one of those two things. I just wanted to point that out because we've had a lot of moisture. And you might come back and say later in the season, hey, I had some things creep into the lawn. It's because that pre-emergent barrier has started to, you know, thin out a little bit. So that's just how it goes. You know, Mother Nature, we never know what she throws our way, but that's the situation at hand.
Gotcha. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Great way to stay connected to us is our Facebook page. Look us up and like us. And we're always trying to share information about how to improve your lawn, your landscape beds, and to keep your plants alive. And we also have put up a link to Bluegrass Quality Meats. We're going to have a couple of guys join us here in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking with Paul Rice and David Kegley and get you ready for the continuation of the grilling season, cookout season. It's here. We're in full swing, and we need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and we are being joined now by Chris from Bromwells. Good morning, Chris. Thanks for so much for talking with us.
No, my pleasure, Ernie. Thanks for calling us.
It's a big weekend approaching 4th of July, and of course, the official first day of summer is this week, and a lot of people are going to be spending time around their grills, and Bromwells has some awesome grills ready, don't you?
Yeah, and typically the biggest grilling season is Memorial Day through the 4th of July, and we sell a few different types
types of grills. A lot of our grills have a lot of different accessories you can buy for them year-round, birthdays, Christmas, stuff like that.
Top quality kind of grill, too. A little something better than you're going to find at a big box store, right?
The Tech Grill is one of our biggest sellers. Do sell the Tech. We do the Fire Magic. We do the Holland. And what's popular over the past few years has been the Big Green Egg.
The Big Green Egg. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the Big Green Egg is a charcoal smoker. I mean, you can do everything on it, but its specialty is low and slow type cooking. A lot of the heavy grillers love the charcoal taste in their food, the hot temperatures that the charcoal achieves, how well the Big Green Egg holds its heat and the moisture. Food just basically tastes better on the Big Green Egg than most other grills.
Cooking and outside spaces have come full circle. Tell us, first of all, how we can get a hold of Bromwell's, where you're located, and your website.
Well, our website is bromwells.com. We are located in downtown Cincinnati at 117 West 4th Street. Real easy to get to off of Route 75. We are open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., with extended hours on Thursday nights till 7. The good news about the grills we sell, there's not a whole lot of service that needs to be done to grills that we sell. It is a higher quality, but there are times that over the years, if you're a serious griller and grill more than, you know, once, twice, three times a week, the grills do have some wear and tear on them, and we do offer service to them, yes.
Now, I got
to
be honest with you, Chris. Tony always gives me so much grief because my wife handles the grill, and he thinks he ought to take my man card from me because of that. But anybody can learn to grill, especially when you have the right equipment, right? What kind of grills would you suggest to homeowners these days?
It all depends on your grill expertise. Of course, all of those guys love to think that we are the grill masters. The fact of the matter is, most of the time, it's actually the grill doing all the heavy lifting, all the hard work. We do have a grill called the Holland Grill that we just brought in this year. That is one of those grills that you just set a temperature and you walk away from it, and the grill does all the work. You come back when it's done, and you're done, and the food is phenomenal. Tech Grill is more of a high-performance grill. It doesn't cook like your typical gas grill. It takes a little learning to grill on that, but in my opinion, I believe the Tech Grill is the best cooking grill in our industry. A lot of regular gas grills won't get those real hot temperatures. Tech uses an infrared technology that it will get that 1,000-degree, you know, charcoal-like temperature in a gas grill. So that's why a lot of serious grillers love the charcoal. They say it makes your food taste better. Well, the thing about the charcoal is it burns at a hotter temperature than what most gas grills do. So keeping the true flavor of the food inside the food is the primary goal, and that's what really makes the food the best.
Now, here's the real hard question. What's your favorite thing to grill?
The all-American answer is steak. Steak's my favorite. The grills that we carry, there's a million different things you can do. I own a Tech, so I'm going to always lean towards that one because of the hot temperature. I'm real into pork tenderloin, pork butts, ribs, anything that's going to give me some cholesterol, I guess.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for talking with us and the five things you need to know about grilling. It's the time to get down to Bromwell's and get your grill ready for the rest of the summer. Give us your contact information one more time and when you're open.
Once again, you can reach us at 513-621-0620. We are located at 117 West 4th Street here in downtown Cincinnati. And our hours are Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., with extended hours on Thursdays till 7.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And it might be a little difficult to understand me. I'm salivating already. I've sent a picture to my wife. We have been joined by Paul Rice and David Kegley from Bluegrass Quality Meats, and they brought us a little care package.
A little care package?
Yeah,
that's
that
a
is.
big care package.
That's some quite goodies. Remarkable.
Huh?
That's quite remarkable.
You know what? That's going to take care of the whole weekend for me. And it will take me into next week, as a matter of fact. So
I may even have to try grilling. Tony always gives me grief because my wife does all the grilling, but I might have to try to tackle that. But we want to say welcome to Paul and David, and thank you for taking the time to join us. Paul, you are the president and the CEO. Welcome
yes.
to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting us. It's good to be here.
First time on the radio. You a little nervous?
I'm very nervous.
Good.
Just dig in there. It's like riding a bike.
And David is the VP Sales and Marketing for Bluegrass Quality Meats. So welcome, David.
Thank you.
Good to have you guys here. Tell us just a little bit about the history of Bluegrass Quality Meats, Paul.
Well, Ernie and Tony, my great-great-grandfather, Christopher Rice, started out, which is right after the Civil War in 1867, mm-hmm. at a little market stall down at the 9th and Madison in Covington, the best we can tell. Some mm-hmm. of the history's a little sketchy. And today it would be similar to Findlay Market, how that worked back there. So that's where he got his start. Unfortunately, he didn't make it very long. He made it to 1905, and his son, Christopher II, had to take over.
Mm-hmm.
About 1912, they opened up a slaughterhouse in Covington, mostly lamb and beef. They weren't into the pork business at that point. Unfortunately, he didn't make it very long either. These guys had a tough life.
Sure. It was a difficult time in that period.
Yeah, if you think of what they went through, you know, World War I, the Great Depression, the Great Flood, World War II, it's amazing what they went through.
None of us should ever be complaining.
Right. My grandfather got into the business when his father died about 1916.
Mm-hmm.
Their mother pulled him out of school. They had to go to work. That's how it was back then.
Sure.
So over the years, you know, we'll kind of jump forward a little bit. Stayed in Covington up till about 1972, and we built a new facility in Crescent Springs, which is right around the corner from where you live.
Yeah.
And from there, we've expanded multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
We've been very blessed. We're about 65,000 square feet facility, 82 to 85 employees. So
right.
We've been blessed.
Yeah.
We've been blessed.
And just an awesome, awesome product, too. I shared a story with you about those jalapeno mets. One of my absolute favorites. I guess I could consider I have an addiction to those because I don't. As I said, none of them survive the next day. My wife will open the package, grill them all. I'll eat, when we eat together, we'll have them on buns, and then she'll just put the rest of them on the plate in the refrigerator, and a little later on, I'll come in and just get one right out of the fridge and tear it up. None of them ever see the light of the next day. David, tell us a little bit about some of the products that Bluegrass Quality Meats offers.
Oh, well, we participate in several categories. Pretty much everything that Bluegrass Quality Meats takes to market is ready to eat. It's fully cooked,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of our bacon, of course.
Right.
And we have everything from boneless hams to hot dogs. Bratwurst and metwurst are huge categories. Tremendous line of deli products, high quality and a nice variety. Hams, roast beef, corned beef, turkey breast, bologna. So a very nice array. And our products also reach into the food service segment. So we have several restaurant chains, groups in the local area. That we supply as well.
So you can find Bluegrass Quality Meats just about anywhere in the tri-state area, and this is the peak season for cookouts, and everybody's having family gatherings.
Absolutely.
Great time to load up.
Grilling season is a huge season for our company.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned about it being a local business. Tell us a little bit about how we can find out more about it. The website is available. I have it pulled up here, bluegrassqualitymeats.com.
Yes. And that's a great place to go to get recipes, comment on, share with us. If they say contact us, we respond to those very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to share their story or a recipe or something like that, we like to hear from our consumers. There's also coupons on there.
Oh, nice.
Promotion tab.
Nice.
And where to buy. So just drill down and pick the item you're looking for and put in your zip code. Brings up like the five closest stores and go pick it up.
So, Paul, let me ask you this. You know, you mentioned that your grandfather got into it, so you've been into it from all of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you started having children, no doubt they were going to come into the business?
They have been there. It's, mm-hmm. it's very cold for them. My daughters, they don't like the cold that much.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
But we have had the sixth generation. The company is comprised of multiple owners, mm-hmm. myself, my brothers, and two cousins, all of which have many children and have been in. And we've actually had the sixth generation. We've been abusing them while they're in college during the summer months they're in.
Sure.
So we've got the sixth generation that's already there, you know, working part-time. But
right. What do you think is the biggest thing that has changed in a family-owned business over the last 20, 30 years?
I guess it's tough. It's like being married, you know, in a family business, you, You can't let egos and emotions get in your way.
Right.
So,
right.
And you have to keep that in mind. And we work very close with my brothers and my cousins. We do a great job. We all get along. That's not necessarily always true in a family business.
Boy, so. it can be a struggle. You and Tony have that connection because he works with his father down at Jackson Florist, and that's got to be something interesting.
It is. I cherish that every day, working alongside my dad. You know, and there's a lot of people tell me that, yeah, I can't work with my dad. But, you know, I've never run into that particular situation, but it's one that I cherish. And I'll always remember. And I don't know, when you're in that family dynamic environment, and do you rib one another, kind of one another riled up and get things started and so forth? Because that's what makes it really fun sometimes.
We have a lot of fun. It's hard work. You spend a lot of hours. You know, you own your own business. You're going to spend a lot of hours there. And so you have to have some fun.
Sure.
And we do.
And you know what's nice about the family business is that you know, it does. It requires a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of hard work, many, many hours. And when it comes time to where you need to have a little downtime or take a vacation, there's always somebody there that can take care of the place, and you can go away for a week or two and feel comfortable. Yes. And maybe you might not. I don't know. You might leave and think about it all the time.
Usually my brother and my cousins, we tell our wives in the spring, we'll see you in October. Mm-hmm. So, because this is our heyday. But
sure.
No, it's very comforting to know that you have a family member.
Right.
Once we leave for vacation, you got the other guys taking over. You know, it's their baby. They're watching it just like we would. So.
And, you know, I'm just amazed that you're celebrating your 150th year of being in business. You had to be one of the oldest businesses in Northern Kentucky. I mean, that's a heck of an accomplishment there in itself.
I've never researched it. I'd love to find out. We may be the oldest still family owned
wow.
in the area, and maybe even in the meat industry itself. I don't know.
That is awesome. That
would be a great thing to
speaks
research.
Speaks volumes. That's really cool. I know that Jackson Florist, it's not been in my family this long, but it's been there since the late 1890s. And the two brothers that started it, they used to take care of the grounds over at the old Latonia Racecourse, you know, which I thought was kind of some neat history. Mm-hmm. And when you had that kind of history behind a business and you're part of the local community, which is huge because you're the cornerstone of our communities, you know, bluegrass quality meats has been around a long time, and you can't buy that. You just,
no.
That type of history yep. and family dynamics is just not there. Not like it used to be.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Paul Rice and David Kegley in with us from Bluegrass Quality Meats. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back, we're going to find out more about their products and more about their business. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We are talking with Paul Rice and David Kegley from Bluegrass Quality Meats, and while we were in the break, we're just talking a little bit about your company, and David said something that hit like a hammer, and what a great phrase, give back to the community and be engaged. You guys are pretty thick in the communities around the area. Tell us a little bit about that. Paul?
Yes, we like to be very engaged in the community, give back to the people that are helping support us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be a good neighbor. We want to be a good steward. One of the things we're doing to help celebrate 150 years is we're donating product to a lot of church festivals, whether it's gatherings for the veterans during Memorial Day. We donate a lot of product for that. So if you've got a church festival out there or a special event coming up, get a hold of us.
Okay.
We'd like to donate, like to help you out, just in a way to give back to the community.
And you can reach them at bluegrassqualitymeats.com?
That's correct.
Absolutely.
All right. So tell us a couple of more organizations that you've been associated with.
Some of the organizations we've been associated with.
Mm-hmm. Charitable, or, you know, you mentioned the Delhi Skirt Game.
Yeah, we're involved with the Delhi Skirt Game several years through a customer directly this year. So we want to be engaged with that.
Mm-hmm.
We are supporting church festivals, as Paul said. Fatherhood Celebration has been, you know, Inner Cincinnati for several years.
Now, let me ask you about that, because you mentioned that, too, when we were in break. And that's a very important part of community outreach.
Oh, I think so. I think whenever you can reach the people that sometimes are a challenge or kind of on the fringe a little bit, mm-hmm. you can help bring families together, then that's really what we want to be involved
in. And great food is a place to gather like nobody's business.
Bluegrass hot dogs.
That's right. You would know better than anybody else, Ernie.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, and get onto bluegrassqualitymeats.com and check out the products. And we have Paul and David in here with us. And one of the things that you mentioned about charitable giving is that you're always willing to help out. It was nice of you to issue that invitation. But family-owned and operated business is part of our show and on part of our trademark on the, in and around the house. We always point out to everyone that when you shop and buy local, 67 cents of every dollar purchased or spent stays in the local economy. Mm-hmm. So you have made it a point to be engaged and involved in your community.
We have. Yeah. And that's something we're very proud of. And we will continue to do that. Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to ask you about a couple of your products. You brought us in a nice gift box. And the first thing that I noticed when you opened it up, in addition to the jalapeno cheese, I love Mets, but it was the cottage butt. I love mm-hmm. cottage butt. And like you said, when we were talking before you came on the air with us there, Paul, that it's green bean season just right around the corner. And you put this right there in a crock pot.
Yep.
It just flavors everything. It all comes together. I love cottage mm-hmm. butts. I have a problem, though. I easily eat most of it. Tina's like, is there still more left? No. Is there still more left? No. But I love this.
Well, Tony put two cottage hams in the crock pot.
That's what I'll have to do. I'll put two in there.
But you're not getting one out of my box.
No. And then I noticed, like, on the back side, you have recipes. Do most of your packaging that you package with your products have recipes on it or no?
No, we have a lot of recipes on our website.
It's all on the website, too, but yeah. I just noticed that there's one back here.
There is one on the cottage butts.
Yeah.
And, in fact, Paul's wife has a special recipe, and she has a little trick.
Yeah. As you can tell, most of your people out there can't see me, which is good about radio, but I'm not underfed.
Neither am I.
My wife has a great recipe for cottage ham and green beans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do the normal, a cottage ham, green beans, some new potatoes, some onions, and a stick of butter in the bottom.
Mm-mm.
Put it on low, let it sit all day, and then it's good eating.
That sounds really good. I'm anxious to use this. So believe me, all this will get used. And I was looking here at another product that you brought in, the barbecue sauce with beef, and it too is fully cooked. It's just like a heat and serve kind of thing.
Yes.
I really like the packaging. I also like the fact that it says no MSG, gluten-free. Are you finding those things being just as important today than ever before when you're coming up with your product and getting those out?
Yeah, there's a lot of interest in those areas, and some products have fat claims, fat-free
right,
claims,
right.
if you will. So we pretty much engineered our line to have no MSG added and to be gluten-free. So everything we're producing in our Bluegrass brand and other brands is that way.
Well, I really like this. It's 97% fat-free. That means I can eat more without worrying about...
I like your way of thinking.
Yeah, there you go, Ernie.
Two servings.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Rose on the line from Anderson, who has a question for you about Met cooking. Hi, Rose. Thanks for the call. What kind of question do you have?
Well, first I want to say I just love their hams and their cottage butts. I use those all the time for green beans and potatoes and onion. But my question is, my mom used to boil the Mets and brats before she grilled them. Is there any point in that?
Well, how long ago was that, Rose? That might answer. Well, let's see. 20 years ago, 30 years ago?
Maybe.
Yeah?
Maybe. Okay.
Rose, this is Paul.
I don't do that normally.
You can do that. That's certainly one way of doing it. If you don't want to dry them out on the grill real bad.
Uh-huh.
But usually if you go low and slow on the grill, you'll be fine. If you're using a coarse ground product, many people boil that ahead of time. If it's not a fully cooked product, boil it ahead of time and then throw it on the grill for a few minutes to get the, you know, the marks and the flavor on it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, Rose. Thanks for the call. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Paul Rice, President, CEO of Bluegrass Quality Meats, and David Keglick, VP of Sales and Marketing. And they brought us a gift package, and I guess I'm just like that typical young spoiled kid I was. I opened it up, found my favorite, and didn't really explore the rest of the box like Tony did. When we come back, we're going to go through the box and talk a little bit about their products. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back into Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Paul Rice, President, CEO of Bluegrass Quality Meats, and David Kegley, the VP of Sales and Marketing. We're talking about meat and bluegrass quality meat products. Grilling season is upon us, cookout season, and we have another caller with a question. We have Jerry on the line, fellas. Got a bacon question for you. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how's it going?
Wonderful. I'm salivating with this big box of bluegrass quality meat products in front of me, and my wife keeps texting me, what do you want for dinner?
Pretty jealous.
Yeah.
Anyways, years ago when we was kids, my dad used to go up to Bluegrass up there in Crescent Springs.
Mm-hmm.
He bought Mariah bacon. Is that a bluegrass brand, or is that just something they sold?
Mariah was a supplier of raw bellies to us, and then we would further process it, inject it, marinate it, you know, put the brine, cook it, smoke it, slice it. But Mariah was the company, was the slaughterer. There's the other piece that we bought the bellies from.
Okay.
You still, you got a hankering for that now?
Well, tomato season's around the corner, and I got 157 tomato plants out, so.
Well, Jerry, I'm going to order some more bellies this week just for you if you've got 150 tomato plants out. I know you're going to need some more bacon.
I'll swap your tomatoes.
That's a fair deal.
I'm drinking, so.
All right. Well, hopefully that answers for you. And get a hold of them. You can go to their Facebook page or jump on their website, too, and get that answer for you.
That'll work.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Guys. Thanks for the call. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And David, you and Tony were over talking about, you grew up or from the area of St. Louis and barbecue.
Kansas City?
Yes, Kansas City and barbecues. And you guys launched into a recipe that just sounded unbelievable. But tell us a little bit about, there's a page on here about with recipes. How many do you get? You get a lot of recipes for different things?
We have a lot of recipes on there for different meal occasions. Basically, you can go on the website. You can pick out the breakfast, lunch, dinner. There's glazes for hams. Mm-hmm. How to heat a ham, that sort of thing. You know, hams are fully cooked. That's the biggest question we get is, how do you cook a ham? Well, it's already cooked. All you have to do is eat it.
Yeah.
So if you want it warm, we recommend wrapping it in foil, 15 minutes per pound at 325, and mm-hmm. it's good to go. So there's a lot of options there. One of my favorite recipes there isn't really out on the grill. You can do it inside. So if it was raining like last night, you can take the hot mint and slice it on a bias and throw it in a skillet with some peppers and onions and oil and balsamic vinegar and just stir it and get it going. Season a little pepper if you want. Then serve it on an Italian bun. So, I mean, that's something we can do in the winter, on a rainy day, whenever. When the grill's open, you know, like tonight's going to be a great grilling night. I'm going to do some pork tenderloins. You know, we don't make pork tenderloins, but I buy fresh pork tenderloins and I wrap them with bluegrass bacon. So the cool thing is there's two in a bag. I'll take one. I'll put some spicy brown mustard or some stone ground mustard on it, wrap it in bacon. The other I'll dice up some rosemary, really fine chop, with some thyme and some diced garlic. I put olive oil on the tender, put that on there, crack some fresh black pepper, wrap it in bacon. And then I'll set my egg up and I'll put the charcoal to the back, cook them on the front. Give them around 125, 30, and then I'll just move them direct over the coals to crisp up that bacon and bring it up to 145, then off the grill and into the kitchen. So, yeah.
Making me hungry.
I'm going to have to get a bib.
There's all kinds of things to do on the grill.
Where does he live, Ernie?
And when Paul and I were talking about me seeing the jalapeno mets in the bag or in the box, I was just telling him how I will eat all of them, and none of them survived the night. And, I was, you know, talking about my wife cooks all the time, and Paul suggested a very good omelet recipe. Tell us a little bit about that.
One thing I like to do, if you're, you know, my children, they like omelets. One, they don't always like the spicy, the jalapeno. Jalapeno isn't really hot, but it has a good jalapeno flavor.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. A lot of people see the jalapeno and go, "Ooh, I don't know," but there's not a. It's not a flaming kind of.
No,
it's just a.
Your brow isn't going to sweat when you're eating it. Yeah. It's a very good, balanced flavor in it. But what I like to do for omelets is take a couple of those jalapeno mets that you don't eat tonight and dice them up, you know, quarter-inch dices, and throw them in an omelet.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's good eating. And if you got a little bacon left over, same thing. Put your bacon in there. If you don't like the jalapeno flavor, just use a regular met or just a regular cheesy met. Dice them up, put it in an omelet.
I know my wife is listening, so I know what's coming for breakfast tomorrow. I can't wait. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We have Paul Rice with us, president and CEO of Bluegrass Quality Meats, and David Kegley, VP of Sales and Marketing. We'll be right back. Welcome back, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and we are talking food, great food, Bluegrass Quality Meat, celebrating 150 years. We have Paul Rice and David Kegley in with us, and we need to just repeat what we've been talking about in the break, and we're going to cover some of that. Delicious recipes, great product, great community connection, giving back, and staying engaged. I love that phrase, David. And let's talk a little bit about, by the way, you can get through their Facebook page, through ours, and also look them up online, Bluegrass Quality Meats. We have Trevor on the line who has a question for you. Hi, Trevor. Thanks for calling from Maysville.
Yeah, I heard that Gold Star Chili, like you guys provide hot dogs for them. Is that true?
Yes, sir, we do. We've done that for many, many years. We sell them the Coney's, and right now they have a promotion on a Super Dog, so I think you can go hold that with both hands. It's a 10-inch Coney with their chili and onions, cheese, everything they put on it, and we make that one for them, too. Also do the sliced meats for them. And, you know, Gold Star Chili is a great customer, but there's a lot of other chili parlors out there that Bluegrass has supplied for many, many years. Camp Washington Chili, J&J Chili, Price Hill Chili, Pleasant Ridge Chili, Dixie Chili's got multiple locations, Empress, and I'm sure I'm missing someone, so I apologize, but we're the largest supplier to the chili parlors in Cincinnati.
And
I think, Paul, you said what, 11 million conies a year to Gold Star?
Yeah, you guys, you'll think this is odd, but one day I tried to figure out how many hot dogs we sold them. That must have been a slow day. And I think it came up to about 11 million hot dogs.
That's a lot of dog right there.
Yes, man. It is. Well, Trevor, get to a Gold Star and grab you some dogs.
Yeah, I eat y'all's ham and cheese bowl about every week. It's delicious.
Thank you.
But we sure appreciate that, Trevor.
You know, he also said that, I didn't realize this, but you also supply the meat for the double-deckers?
We do. We supply the ham and the turkey. They have deckers and double-deckers. Uh-huh. So, yeah,
well, absolutely. Of course, I'm going to say double-decker.
Well, all right. Absolutely. Why hold back?
You know, that's awesome. And even more reason to stay local. I didn't realize you supplied that many local businesses. And you even went as far as to say, like, Greyhound Grill, which is a favorite amongst everybody in northern Kentucky. They buy a lot of bacon from you, and it's awesome that everything's localized like that. Mm-hmm. Even more important, it's all about local businesses.
67 cents of every dollar spent locally stays in the local economy. Let's talk a little bit about the box, because I have to admit, as soon as I saw my favorite in there, I kind of thought, oh, I can't wait. I had to snap a picture and send it to my wife, and there are an awful lot of great products in here. And we'll just start little by little. This is something I got to be honest with you. I didn't really give any thought about, but you have some wonderful barbecue available in a package, all set to go.
Right.
Tell me about this.
That's a 3-pound package of beef barbecue. It's sold through delis, so you can get as little or as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an item that's been a staple for many years here. So it's a company that we just take the beef and sauce it, we put it in that bag and steam cook it, so it's got a very good shelf life. It's nice.
So in answer to Rose's questions about it, she was asking about whether or not her, you know, mom used to boil things. These are fully cooked.
That's fully cooked. And our brats or mets are fully cooked. No one needs to really boil them today. So just heat them to how you want them. And if you want to boil them because it's snowing outside, well, you're just heating them up.
I wasn't exaggerating. In the fall and winter, my wife will have us bring the grill up onto the patio so she can go out on the patio and grill.
I'm guilty. I just slide the door and reach. that's how close it gets to the house.
Here's another one that I know is going to be a new favorite of mine. Jubilee smoked ham. Tell me about that.
That's our quarter sliced Jubilee ham with natural juices. It's naturally hardwood smoked. It's a very convenient item. It's sold throughout the market, and it's about a pound and a half, so just putting that in the fridge, and you're ready to throw it on a biscuit with some eggs in the morning, or onto a sandwich, or slice it, put it over a salad. dice it, put in your mac and cheese, whatever you want to do with it.
And Tony mentioned about the cottage butt. And Lisa, my wife, loves the can. So I can tell you where that's going later on, too. And you mentioned about the bacon.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
The nice thing about the bluegrass bacon is it's a really high end. The quality of it is unique because of the quality of the bellies we start out with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very lean bacon. It's made from small bellies. They're just kind of the sweet spot in the ratio of lean to fat. So when it cooks, it doesn't shrink all the way up. The other thing, it's a sugar-free cure. So it doesn't have any sugar. It doesn't have a lot of salt in it. And has just the right flavor. So,
well, I'm going to be contacting you every year. This started out with just a handful of friends of mine that we love to ride motorcycles, and they would come to the house, and my wife would fix up a big bunch of bacon and eggs and stuff before we would go riding. And one of our friends' nickname is Indian, and Lisa turned her attention away from the plate, and Indian grabbed some bacon off the plate, and she was like, for everybody else to eat, you know, wait till it's all ready. So it got the nickname of the Great Bacon Raid. And from that point, there's anywhere between 20 and 30, 40 guys show up at the house. So I'm going to be coming to see you to supply her with some bluegrass quality meats bacon for that Great Bacon Raid. And you brought up, here's those jalapeno cheesy metwurst again. Tell us about the other packages you brought today.
Well, we brought some bratwurst to you, as well as the other Mets. And the metwurst, we have quite a variety of flavors there. Basically, it's a beef and pork that's coarse ground and naturally hardwood smoked. But we take that and we make variations by adding either cheddar or some red pepper for hot, or jalapeno and cheddar for jalapeno cheese. We may even make a hotter than hot. It's got a kind of an orange caution label on it. It is hot.
Oh.
There you go. So, we have a nice variety of those.
look at Paul's face.
The bratwurst is the white one. And the reason it's white is it's not cured. It's all pork. It's not cured. It's not smoked. So some people ask the difference between the two. Kind of the flavor, the spice that drives the bratwurst is the nutmeg. So
nutmeg.
Yeah.
You like nutmeg.
I do like nutmeg.
I know
nutmeg.
You do.
So, and go ahead.
Do you have a preference when you're brat or met for you, David? I mean, does it matter, or is it?
My family, I've got grandkids, five of them, and so we have both because the house is divided.
I don't know. Sometimes I just get into the old brat mood, you know, and it's just maybe it's because I always think I'm at a, you know, like you're at the ball game or something. You know, everyone always gets a met, but they never turn to the brat. And I like it a little charred.
Okay,
you know, it's got to have a little black char on it.
Well, we've done a lot of cookouts, and there's always someone that walks up, give me a burnt one, you know, give me a black one.
Right.
So that's you.
It's got to be like that. And usually what I'll do on the grill, if I have something going on and I'm cooking a few of those, I'll take some of those off and I'll just let them simmer in a beer. That way they're not still trying to cook, but they're still staying warm. And it just, I don't know, there's something about that during the summer months. Ernie, I could just tear into like three or four of those. And Tina's like, aren't you done? No, I could do a little eating.
So what about toppers? How do you top your brats?
Well, unlike Ernie, I like condiments, and I'm all about various types of mustards and so forth. I also like slaws, various slaws on top of the brat or the met itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just telling you about the one that I found that we did, my wife and I, it was a week or two ago. It was a cucumber blueberry slaw. Wow. And at first I thought, that's a little different. But when you look at this, it's refreshing. And I always try to tie things into, when we're grilling, things I can pull out of the garden. So like, you know, garden to table kind of element or approach. And with this, I mean, you know, we grow a lot of herbs too. So we're using fresh dill. We're using fresh parsley. And cucumbers when they're ready. Nothing like a fresh cucumber versus what you buy at the grocery store. And, you know, even if you're growing blueberries, but, and I like, I don't know, I'm just a coleslaw person. I'm always doing various recipes, be it kind of a mild recipe or it being hot.
Mm-hmm.
It just varies, you know, or something Cajun, but it just adds a whole different element to the brat or the met, I think. But, and some people probably can't grasp that. I don't know. I remembered I was at a ball game with my dad in Atlanta. And they had like a brat and met kind of kiosk set up And there had to have been like 15 or 20 different recipes that you could top it with.
Right.
Sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Let's go back to a safe. Yeah. It's got to be sauerkraut. Yeah. Mustard, grandma's, and sauerkraut.
Yes. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We are talking with Paul Rice, President, CEO of Bluegrass Quality Meats, and David Cakley, the VP of Sales and Marketing. And we mentioned earlier in the show, and we want to revisit this, that you are connected to the community, give back, and stay engaged. Paul, you talked about a couple of places and events that are going on this weekend where they can get your product. Tell us about that again.
Well, two of the church festivals, these happen to be church festivals that approached us, and we donated product to them. One is St. Veronica, Mount Carmel, Tabasco Road.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is Mary Queen of Heaven in Erlanger. So if you guys are out and about, you don't feel like grilling out tonight, go to either one of those two festivals. They're grilling out, and you can pick up some of our coupons while you're there.
Yeah, I was just going through this coupon book, and as David mentioned, if you go to one of the festivals we just talked about, they'll be passing these out, so make sure you find one of the representatives for Bluegrass Quality Meats and pick up a coupon book and then get to your local grocery store and pick those up. A lot of great recipes. You can get to their website, bluegrassqualitymeats.com. You can also catch them on Facebook as well. And we're going to be pausing here in just a minute. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some more great recipes, some more great product, Bluegrass Quality Meats, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have had a blast this last hour. We have been talking with Paul Rice, the president and CEO of Bluegrass Quality Meats, and David Cakley, the VP of Sales and Marketing. And we want to revisit something you opened the part of the show with, Paul. Tell us a little bit about the history of Bluegrass Quality Meats.
Well, it started shortly after the Civil War, 1867.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been our great-great-grandfather. Had a stall down at, the best we can tell. You know, mm-hmm. some of the history is a little blurry, but the best we could tell, at 9th and Madison,
mm-hmm.
where he had a stall where he would butcher at home and then take that animal down there and sell it. It's right. Very similar to be a Finley market
mm-hmm.
Today. So, and as the generations passed on, unfortunately, a couple of the early guys didn't make it real long. My grandfather got into the business about 1916 when his father died.
Mm-hmm.
His mother pulled him out of school, and they went. That's how you did it back then.
Sure.
You went to work. You had a call a little bit earlier from Trevor out of Maysville. We actually had a plant in Maysville at one time. About 1940, prior to that, we were all beef and lamb.
Mm-hmm.
1940, they wanted to get into the pork business. There was a business in Maysville that had been shut down, a facility. They bought it, and my grandfather went out there to start it. His two brothers and his mom stayed back here to run the one in Covington, and they started a plant in Maysville, and we're doing pretty well, and unfortunately, in 1945, it burned to the ground.
Oh.
So they had to come back to Covington. Like yeah. I said earlier, these guys are, you know, my ancestors had a tough time. You think of what they had to go through, you know,
sure.
World War One and the Great Depression and, you know, the Great Flood and especially especially Prohibition. My grandfather knew especially about Prohibition.
You know, if you said 9th and Madison, the Great Flood, that yep. was right in the heart of that area.
Yeah,
took that.
We have a, there's a picture at work that is the slaughter facility that they had on Patton Street. And it, unfortunately, it was behind the flood wall. And my grandfather told me they were rowboating the animals out of the second floor of that building to get them out. Unfortunately, sure. you couldn't sell them. They had to get rid of them
right.
as they got wet from the flood. But if you jump forward a little bit, about 1972, the building in Covington was very old at the time. So we built a new building. My grandfather, my father, and my uncles built a new facility in 1972 in Crescent Springs, right around mm-hmm. the corner from where you live,
yeah.
Ernie. And we've been there ever since, and we've expanded 4 or 5 times. We're about 65,000 square foot facility, 80 to 85 employees.
Great.
So, like I said, we've been very blessed.
Well, as Tony mentioned, we want to give you credit too. We are always talking about staying locally, buying locally, 67 cents of every dollar. And you stay engaged locally by contributing to a lot of the charitable organizations, veterans, churches, church festivals.
Yeah, cities will approach us. Erlanger, for one, has approached. If you've got something going on, you know, approach us. We want to help you. We want to help you make money, and we'll donate the product to, awesome. To help you out.
That is so good.
It's one way of us giving back. We want to say thanks.
Okay. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. Say thanks right now.
I want to thank everybody that is our customer and out there for 150 years. Like I say, we're very blessed, and we appreciate all your business. And hopefully anybody that's listening that's not a customer, come on board, and I don't think you'll be disappointed.
That'd be awesome. And I want to talk to David before we get out of here, too, about some of the places you may be enjoying bluegrass quality meats and not even know it.
Well, we spoke a little bit earlier about the chili parlor, so there's mm-hmm. there's numerous those locations, as we mentioned. But also Frisch's has been a long-term customer, and we're proud to be a supplier of Frisch's. They use our ham and have for many, many, many years. The Root Beer Stand is kind of an institution up in the north side of Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a fun place to go. You might want to ride your bike up
yes.
there.
Yes.
And grab a root beer and a dog, and we supply the hot dogs to the Root Beer Stand.
Nice.
Barleycorns, like we mentioned, they do a country ham and our bacon. And in fact, they make a margarita, or not a margarita, but a Bloody Mary. And it's got a stick of fried bluegrass bacon right inside that thing. So
I've got to put that on the bucket list.
It's acclaimed in the area by some people that might know. Mm-hmm. And we supply a lot of independents, you know, the Barleycorns and just some locations that might have our corned beef for the Reuben, or they might have turkey breast, you know, just different products like that in their sandwiches or on their menu. A lot of country clubs and different locations like that we supply into schools. Mm-hmm. Hamilton County Parks, many locations have our brats, mets, hot dogs, different locations like that. Many golf courses sold through our distributors. We have another segment that you wouldn't see, and that is private label business. About a third of our business is made under contract for other customers under their labels.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple of large distributors. One, I think, is in about 26 states. The other's in all 48 lower states. We do some 20-plus items. It's either our item under their label, or we've created a recipe for them and make that for them. So besides thanking the consumers, we want to thank all these operators, the retailers and the food service operators, particularly in this area, that have supported bluegrass for many years.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. It has been fabulous, and we'll have to have you come back and talk a little bit more about this. And thank you for the care package, and we're going to put that to good use. You can check them out, bluegrassqualitymeats.com. You can also look them up on Facebook, and thank you guys again for coming in. We have loved this and learned an awful lot. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Thanks for having Ernie us. And Tony, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
It was a lot of congratulations. Thanks for 150 years. Bluegrass quality meats. That does it for us today. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Next weekend, we're going to enjoy the holiday weekend and revisit a bunch of things to help you kind of stay refreshed on your lawn and landscape beds. Have a great weekend.